assembled together in this day, we rejoice in the beauty of worship on the Sunday, a day, Lord Jesus, that we set aside to spend in fellowship with Thee and one another, and devoted, O Lord, to the praise and the honor and the glory of Thy holy name, to read Thy word together and meditate upon it. Lord, we thank Thee for this blessing, this opportunity, this freedom to come together. Lord, bring our thoughts, our hearts, wrap them up. Bring them, O Lord, to the focus of Thy holy word, that this day would truly be a blessing unto us, not just in the sense of it being free from the busyness of this life, O Lord, but that we would be free to completely devote our thoughts upon Thee. So be with us, O Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's meditation, with the Lord's help, I desire to read from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians, chapter number 5. I desire to begin with verse number 15. And we can read through the 20th, 15 through 20. Dumnezeu želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoć iz Efesima, 5. glava, 15 do 20. broj. Efesima, 5. glava, 15 do 20. broj. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 20. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless our reading, and may we kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, as we have assembled together this morning, we have before us a few verses with very much a meaning. As we read these verses, I believe that as we look at them, every one of us can take a word or a portion of this scripture, and it just has to immediately hit us of a failure, perhaps, on our part, of a fulfillment of what the Apostle Paul has written here. We know in the first three chapters specifically, the Apostle Paul calls us. He lays out the vocation. He lays out the principle of life in Christ. And he lays it out so beautifully. But as Paul always does, he never leaves us with just the principle. He goes beyond that, as he does in the fourth chapter. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So now he's saying, let's apply those things, just as we prayed. We just prayed together as we read the word, that we would apply it to our daily life. This is the Apostle Paul's yearning, concern. It's what he has left for us. The application of the principles of God into our life. And in this Bible, the pulpit Bible that is before me, these actual five verses are heading off, it says, the will of our Lord. And so in these verses, dear ones, we can see that Paul is actually calling us. He tells us, see then. Because you know the principles of God, Now, knowing them, Paul wasn't satisfied to let us know them, to be intellectuals, to have this knowledge in our brains, to know what the will of the Lord is. No, he says, now that you know that, see then. Make it a point. See. That means that you walk circumspectly. That means carefully. That doesn't mean today, on Sunday, when we come together. It means walk. A walk is, you know, every time we get up, we walk. It says do it circumspect. Be very careful. We know that if we're walking on a precipice of some kind, and there's just a cliff hanging there next to us, and the road is narrow, we're going to be very, very careful with what? The 10th step we take? No, the first step. And every step that follows, we will walk very circumspectly, lest we go tumbling off. Why? Because we were careless. We were careless. We weren't looking where we're going. We didn't mind the danger that is right next to us. And so Paul is bringing that to us, and he says, see, observe, be careful that you would walk circumspectly, walk carefully, not as fools. A fool would run on that precipice. He would, on that narrow way with the cliff right next to us. A fool wouldn't care. And when you go tell him, well, he wasn't careful. And so he says in this walk, in this vocation with we are called, this way of life, a way of Christ, he says, walk circumspectly. Every step. Be careful. Don't think that, well, I can run a little bit and I'm not going to be that careful because if my knee buckles, I'll still be able to recover. I'll be able to recover. I won't go quite tumbling off the end. Because our eyes are fixed on something else. When our eyes are fixed on something else, we won't be careful. We won't be circumspect in our walk with our Lord. And so Paul is bringing this to attention. He says, walk circumspectly. Don't be a fool. Because if you take your life in Christ any single day, foolishly, you're not wise and you're not his. So he tells us to redeem the time. Redeem the time. What does it mean to redeem the time? To redeem the time, dear ones, is time is an opportunity. And so we have to redeem that opportunity. So we have to invest in it, buy into it. We have to buy into this opportunity that we have. And this opportunity is given to us moment by moment. He says, redeem the time. These opportunities that you have, redeem those. Why? Why does he say that? Because he says the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. These opportunities that are around you, take them. Why? Because you're living in a very evil day. Oh, well, that was for the time in Ephesus. Well, actually, if we look at the time in Ephesus, Ephesus was a very advanced society. And if we look at our day today, we would say, we are such a polished men today compared to the old days. We went through an age of enlightenment. We are men who are we honor one another we're very polished and very cultured is the word I was trying to think of. We're very cultured people, and we are. The world today is very cultured and is very enlightened, or so man thinks. But yet, and that's how it was in Ephesus. You know, the rich men would give money into this temple, And there would be a form of religious service in that, and through giving into this temple, they're really just safeguarding their wealth. But he says the days are evil to them in Ephesus, and he says it to us today. How are the days evil today? How are the days evil? Dear ones, how can the day be evil when we live as cultured men? You know, we can be very cultured, and we can claim to be very enlightened. And, you know, the man next to me at my place of work may never know that I'm a Christian. Well, if he doesn't know that I'm a Christian, if I have to say, hey, I am a Christian, or if I'm doing business, I have to put on my business card a quote, a verse from the Bible to show you, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm going to be honest, then really I'm not doing the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord means that as I'm taking every step carefully every day, and I take every opportunity that comes my way to what? To show Christ in me. That the person next to me has to say, there's something different. I like him. I like the way he does this or the way he does it. Or he's very condemning. I can tell that he would be very condemning of my radical lifestyle, so I'm not going to reveal it to him. I'm not going to tell him these things because I can see he's on a higher plane than I am. And it's not because I act like I'm better. No, it's because I live a life of Christ. I walk carefully, very circumspectly, very carefully. I'm redeeming the time. I'm taking the opportunity of every moment that I have to live Christ. To live Christ. Paul says again, wherefore, be ye not unwise. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, how can I be understanding what the will of the Lord is unless I am, as our understanding of him only comes as he reveals his will to us and I obey him. In my obedience, he reveals himself yet more. And he reveals himself. And as he reveals himself to me, I walk carefully. And I accept. We actually began our prayer of in our submission unto God. As I obey him, that's the submission, the obedience. It's not only in our kneeling before him in prayer. That's not a submission. The submission is the obedience. And in the obedience, I kneel before him. Because I've already submitted to him. His life is mine. And so I am walking circumspectly. I'm walking very carefully. I'm redeeming the time. I am not unwise. I am understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, man, you know, the Lord taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that prayer perhaps very, very blasphemously. We say, thy will be done, as we ignore his will. Well, his will is that I would be the light to the world. That's his will. I'm saying, thy will be done, but Lord, don't call on me to do anything. You do it all. You're the God. You're God above. You can do it. Don't look at me. I'm just a poor old Pap, who am I? I'm not capable. I don't have the speech. I don't have the understanding. He says, be understanding. Not try to understand. Not, well, if I've given you a brain that can think, you'll be able to understand. But if I didn't give you that brain, then you're not going to be able to think it. No, he says, be understanding. In other words, it is in every heart the Lord gives life to. He gives the ability to understand his will. Dear ones, we live in an age of enlightenment where man thinks he has gone beyond that barbaric way of life that we can actually read in Scripture. they're barbarians and so on. Man feels he's progressed beyond that. And because of that progression, feels that he lives on a higher plane than the barbarians of old. Feels that he is already in touch with his creator because of that. And we say, well, yeah, you know, it is better. It is better. Are we doing the will of the Lord? You know, I firmly believe that today, and this is because Paul says the days are evil. The days are evil. That if Jesus Christ of Nazareth came here today and preached the same message that he preached, which of course he couldn't preach a different one because he is a never changing God. Never changing God. And if he preached the same message, he would probably be crucified quicker than he was back then. How we would say that? And there's no way. We live in a Christian society. We live in a Christian nation. Christendom itself does not. We'll have to look at it. What is Christendom? Christendom is the Orthodox, the Catholic, the Protestant. That's all Christendom. Why are they in such opposite, polar opposites in their beliefs? If it's Christendom, it has to be Christ-centered. If it's Christ-centered, it's his will. Everyone is walking circumspectly, carefully, doing the will of God. And oftentimes, if we do his will, see, the world embraces Christendom. The evil world embraces Christendom today. Brothers and sisters, that's scary. Because the world did not embrace Christ. And it's not because they were living in a different time. The days were evil then. The days were evil when Christ walked the earth. The days are evil when Paul is writing this. What, some 30 years later? Christ has already gone. He's already ascended. And the days aren't getting better. Do we think the days are getting better? Days are continually continuing in the same way that they have always been. With the call, with the never-changing call to mankind, come to me. The Lord is pleading. Because I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And you know what Christendom does today? It accepts the beliefs of the Buddhists, the Hindus. It accepts, because as long as you believe in something, a higher power of some kind, you'll be okay. We heard it from our leaders. We hear it from our leaders that it's all okay. This is the age of enlightenment, cultured people. It's evil. Why is it evil? Because it leaves Christ out. Where Christ is not, that is where the devil is. And where the devil is, what good is there? What good is there? It's evil. He says, so don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How are we going to do these things? How are we going to be able to walk so carefully, so wisely? How are we going to be able to seize and buy into these opportunities that we have every day? How? How are we going to be wise? How are we going to be understanding what the will of the Lord is? Well, it comes in the submission of the truth. Dear ones, we have to understand what a hardened heart is. How does a heart become hardened? It becomes hardened through unbelief. That's scripture. And what constitutes unbelief? Does it say, well, I don't believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again? Is that what we would consider unbelief? Unbelief is when I hear the truth, I heard it. Because what is it that gives the sanctifying power? The power of truth gives you and I the sanctifying power to be able to walk circumspectly, to be able to redeem the time, to be able to understand what the will of the Lord is. It's the sanctifying power which is truth.
So as I hear the truth, I do, and you do. Everyone who hears, who comes into truth, now makes a decision. Obey, disobey. When we disobey truth, the hardening of the heart begins. So when I want to run along life's road, and I know I'm going to fall, or I can fall, but I'm confident in my ability to walk that, or to run that path, as dangerous as it is, I have confidence in who? My flesh, in me. I have confidence. I can go right here and not fall off. I'm a fool. And I've hardened my heart against the truth. The Pharaoh's first hardening of the heart began when he was exposed to truth and told what to do, and he said no. The hardening of the heart began. We say, well, God hardened his heart. God hardens a heart. The process of hardening comes when one doesn't believe him and doesn't accept his truths and follow and doesn't use the truth, which is the sanctifying power, to do his will. And then when we don't do that, then we aren't careful. We aren't redeeming the time. We're being fools, and we don't understand his will. But I am a Christian. I'm a good Christian. Paul says in if you then be risen with Christ, he says here, if you are risen with Christ, who's he saying this to? To those of us who say that we are risen in Christ. We say we are risen in Christ. So he says, okay, if you are, you say you are, so if you are, here's how you're going to know. He says, if you are, then seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. What is above? You're not going to find it below. That means you're not going to find it here. It's not found in the land of the living. It comes from above. What is this that comes from above? Truth. The sanctifying power, the power of truth. It comes from above. If you want to say that you're risen in Christ, with Christ, then you have to seek those things which are from above. You have to seek his truth. And he says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So set your affection, your love, set your love on those on things that are above. Again, above, not here. He says not, and he says it actually, not on things on the earth. Isn't that an absolute continual teaching of what Jesus Christ taught in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount? Where he tells us that, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Paul says, set your affections on things above. So lay yourself treasures on things, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth, in that day, there was a lot of expensive garments that were worth much. Well, the moth is going to destroy that garment. It's from the earth. Then there's those precious metals. He says rust will just corrupt it. And thieves are going to break through and steal it. He says, but no, don't put your treasures. In other words, don't put your affections, don't put your love into those things. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Redeem the time. And so what does he say? What does Christ say? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Set your affection, your treasure, your love. Set that on things that are above. He says, where there's no moth, there's no rust, that's going to corrupt, and there's no thief that's going to break in and steal it. Why does he say that? And he lays it out for us, because he says, where your love is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That is what I will follow. And so when Jesus tells me, walk carefully, redeeming the time, he says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, what does it mean for the eye to be single? Clear. It needs to be clear. So it doesn't see anything blurry. I've had astigmatism all my life. I cannot see anything clearly. I have to wear corrective lenses to see. My eye naturally is not single. I have to, in order to see, and anyone here who wears corrective lenses knows what that means. He says, spiritually, our eyes have to be clear. Clear. Because when your eye, when you see clearly His will, when you understand His will, then the whole body will be full of light. What's that mean? He will dwell in you. And now, he says, but if thine eye be evil, in other words, you're seeing blurry. Because that's not clear what you're seeing. You're being deceived. You're being deceived by the things that the moth is going to corrupt, by the things that the rust will corrupt and the thieves will come in and break and steal. You're being deceived by these things. You're thinking there is the joy. There is the satisfaction. There is life. He says, your eye is evil. Now your whole body is what? Full of darkness. Darkness. And we're called the children of light. We are the ones that are to point the nations to Christ. And he says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What does that mean, dear ones? If the light that I claim is in me, and I am going to point Christendom. Let's talk about it. Christendom speaks of Christ. But if I speak of Christ and I can't with my life show Christ, how great is that darkness in me? As greater than the one whose heart is not hardened. The one who doesn't know of Christ at all. The one who's never made the choice when he heard the gospel call. No, he's supposed to see and hear it from me. And he says, if the light that is in thee be darkness. In other words, it's not light at all. I claim it to be light, but it's darkness. How great is that? That's pitch black stuff. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, he says. You either hate the one and love the other, or else hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Those are the words of Christ. But you know what? We say, yeah, that's for weak Christians. I can handle it. I can do it. I have confidence in the flesh. I can do it. I can deal with it. We have confidence in the flesh, and we're not careful. And we set our affections on things that are here and not on things that are above. So how do we do this? He says here, be not drunk with wine. He said, how does he just interject that right here? Be not drunk with wine. Well, we know what wine does. We know what wine does to us. It makes us drunk. It makes us think things very unclearly. In other words, our eye is not single. It's blurred. Our vision is blurred. We don't think right. We don't do right. Some men are awfully combative when they're drunk. some men are awfully goofy, whatever the case might be, wine has its effect on people. And he says, don't fill yourself with that. So what is this? What is this capital that we are to have as we make our investment in Christ? He says that is the filling of the Spirit of God. Be filled with Him, and you will be able to fulfill everything. We make fools of ourselves, and the light that is in us is complete darkness when we fill ourselves with wine or we fill ourselves with the mammon. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just money. It's anything that is, when this we just mentioned on Wednesday, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So if my life is anything, if I say to live is alcohol, to die is a loss. If I say to live is wealth, when I die, it's a loss. Everything is a loss unless I say to live is Christ, then I gain when I die. And so he says, be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. So that you don't make a fool of yourself. And you're going to be wise. But the world will look at you as a fool. They looked at Christ as a fool. It's going to do the same with you. They hated me, he said. They're going to hate you too. Don't try to get friendly. Don't try to win the affections of the world. Brothers and sisters, we have no business being with ungodly men, going out with them, doing different things with them, and not shining as a light. We are unwise. We said, no, but that's how I'm going to get him. If your life and your acquaintance doesn't bring about with him something that would retard his desire in front of you, then you're no light at all. I read where two men worked together for years, and one suddenly is a Christian. He suddenly decides he's going to invite his friend to some event in their church. And he invites him. He goes, oh, you're a Christian? So am I. Years they spend together. They don't know that they're Christians. You're not filled with the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we are not filled with the Spirit if no one around us knows that we're Christians. Does that mean that I need to now preach to every person and call them and tell them? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. We redeem the time. We buy into those opportunities as they come. But always, we are the light, because that's what God calls us to be the light, to shine, to point the nations to Him. It's Him. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We think that we're strong enough to put those hymns aside and speaking of spiritual things. We can speak of foolish things. We can get involved in foolish things. Because I'm strong, I have confidence in my flesh that I will not fall. I'm just dabbling. I'm just being a little bit weak right now. I've heard a brother say, I'm just weak. I'm just weak. Meaning I don't want to give up this. It's how God made me. It's because the will to do that is greater than the will to serve Him, which means what? There's a hardening. We are the Pharaoh. We look at Pharaoh and say, what a fool. He saw the frogs. He saw the locusts. He saw these things. What a fool. How did he not believe? He did believe. He saw it. He disobeyed. He thought he could do something different. He disobeyed. Brothers and sisters, when we say, I'm just made that way, I'm made to lust, I'm made to drink, I'm made to whatever, I'm made with this, that means I don't want to be transformed. I don't want to be remade in the image of God. I don't want Him. And so I use that as an excuse. And I've become a fool. And so I kneel in prayer, and I give thanks to the Lord for all things. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Blasphemous words. blasphemous from someone who isn't interested in him. Oh, but I am. Well, that's, Paul says, then redeem the time. The days are evil. They haven't gotten any better. Jesus says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find it? The dear ones, the Apostle Paul tells us to look above. He lays out the vocation and he says, now apply it. Apply it in your everyday life. Don't be just a Christian in the church. Don't be just a Christian in the home. Be a Christian everywhere. In other words, be careful who you associate with. Be careful who you go with. Why are you rejecting being around the people of God, but you got no problem being with worldly people, ungodly people? There's ungodly people all around us. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Word of God tells us that we live in the days which are evil. The question is, am I godly? Or am I sitting next to that coworker, and I can't tell by anything in his life that he's a Christian, and he can't tell by anything in my life that I'm a Christian? I'm not careful with how I dress, how I present myself. I'm not careful because I'm just fitting in with the world. I'm not careful with how I show myself on social media and what I'm displaying. I'm not worried about it because it's accepted. It's even being accepted in our own circles. Those are old-fashioned people that say something different. I'm cultured. I'm enlightened. I do say things now and again about Jesus Christ. I do. Look, I remember about 6 years ago, I called someone to church. I remember that. You know, we rest upon things that are meaningless as we portray worldliness, ungodliness. We can do that very easily. Paul says, don't do those things. This vocation which you're called to now, he says, redeem the time. The days are evil. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't think you can be filled with lust. Don't think you can be filled with wine. Don't think you can be filled with the desires for riches. Don't think you can be filled with those things and still find room for the Spirit. The battle, brothers and sisters, the battle of the will. And that's why it takes complete submission and the sanctifying power, the power of truth. The Spirit of God fills us and empowers us into holiness. May God bless His word upon our hearts.